a messy desk, a messy garage, heck, a messy mind. Clutter can get in the way of a lot of things, and it can change people's impression of you as well. Today, we get to learn more about decluttering. Thanks for listening and subscribing to Learning More. Oh man, over on Podbean, we've had so many people hit the subscribe button that it is fantastic. So I've got to call out Podbean specifically. They've featured me in the Society and Culture podcast. I'm like in the top list there. That is so cool. Thank you for that, Podbean. And even, you know, it's like one of those hosting companies where you move over to them and like, I, you know, said, oh, I'm proud to be on Podbean. And the CEO like retweets. It's like, come on, this place is cool. So I'm giving extra special shouts out to Podbean just because I'm so happy with them over there. So thank you so much. Okay, that is not what the show is about. The show is not about Podbean. It's actually, we're talking about decluttering today. As I'm sure, you know, those people on Podbean that subscribed and everywhere else where you subscribed, you probably heard the show that I did a couple of weeks ago about being married to a hoarder. And we're not specifically talking about hoarding today. We're talking about clutter. But that show sort of inspired me to kind of look at myself again, right? And like I sort of looked at myself and I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm totally a minimalist. And I have this stack of paper and I hate having like, you know, all this like clutter and all that stuff. After that show, I completely redid my office. Like I have a built-in desk thing. And so I added a whole new side to it. And I've got stuff where I can, you know, put everything away. And I don't have that stack of papers anymore on top of my desk. I have it on a little shelf that I can kind of close off. It's funny how this podcast like makes changes to my life in so many different ways. Unexpected ways. I didn't expect to like totally redo my office. So who knows what's going to come out of this show as we talk about decluttering. I'm not going to do that by myself, of course. I've got a guest. Julie Caraccio is joining me today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me. I think that's awesome about Podbean. And you know, if you're learning and taking everyone you interview with, fantastic. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, well, this whole podcast actually came out of me and in like what 2019, I said, you know, I'm going to learn something new every week. Like that was a mission for me, right? Like I'm going to figure out something to learn new. And I did all these different online platforms and all this stuff. And I was like, well, you know, it's great that I'm learning these things, but why don't I make a podcast about this and actually share all these different things that I'm learning? And so that was the birth of the podcast. So it's so cool to like, you know, now it's like, not only am I learning these things, but I'm actually applying them. I guess that's the step that a lot of people forget too, right?
Yes. It's awareness plus action equals change. A lot of times people miss one of those.
Exactly. Exactly. So, okay. So we're talking decluttering and I've got you on here. What is your expertise in this area?
So I help people declutter their lives. And what makes me a little different, so I do professional organizing for life and end of life. You know, a lot of people haven't thought about what happens if I were to go to the next adventure suddenly. So I help people organize around that. And what sets me apart is I look at decluttering your entire life, right? Because clutter is anything that prevents you from creating the life you desire. It's stuck, stagnant energy. So you can have clutter in your relationships. You can have health. You can have emotional, mental clutter. And so for me, it's about looking at the bigger picture and looking at what else is going on. Because a lot of times, and this isn't always the case, but with the people I work with, there's usually something else going on that's helping manifest the physical clutter.
Why did you get into this?
I had lived in Los Angeles and I woke up one day and heard move to Raleigh. So I'm like, okay. So in North Carolina, and I found a job and then pretty much knew, oh, this probably isn't the right move for me. But I was like, I don't want to just get another job. And so I was like, what could I do where I could help people? And I, of course, have to make money and I wanted to make a difference. So I'm like, I'm going to be a professional organizer. And I went and got SCORE. Are you familiar with what SCORE is?
I'm not sure which that one is.
Retirees who help people who want to start a business. They were in business or maybe in marketing or different skills. So you can go get free advice. And they're like, you want to do what? like they had never heard of it and thought I was nuts. I'm like, no, it's a legit profession. Really, it is. And so that's how I started.
That's awesome. It's great that you were able to find something that you're so interested in. Okay, thinking about clutter, I would think that this is probably an external sign of something that's going on internally. So what is this a sign of?
Well, it really is going to be individual. But for example, maybe your messy desk is about your mind's kind of in chaos. You're in worry a lot, you're stressed out a lot, and that's reflected in your environment. Or you get jealous a lot, so you have an overstuffed closet because you want to keep up with the Joneses and be a fashionista. As a couple examples. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've heard also people say like something or, you know, like a messy desk could be a clear mind. Like, oh, it's all on my desk. It's all messy because my mind is so clear. I just write everything down. I put everything there. I don't have to think about it. It's sitting in that pile. I don't know. I look at that desk and I'm like, oh my God, how do you deal with that? Like,
well, I have a couple comments on that. First of all, I'll never forget working with someone and be like, hey, I was in development and fundraising and grant writing for nonprofits. And I was like, hey, I need X for the budget. And she said, okay. And I said, I'll be back in a half hour when you find it. And then I recently posted, this is my most viewed, which is not a lot. It's almost $18,000 or 18,000 views on Instagram. I just did a little quick clip and it was about a messy desk and, you know, people don't trust people. I mean, this is all like I'm basing it on studies. Boy, did some people get upset with me about that and kind of what you're saying. Well, no, that's not true. Well, you know what? I think that the science backs it up. And like you said, you just mentioned, you're like, oh, looking at that desk, people trust you less. So you can, you know, obviously think what you want, but most likely people, majority won't agree with you. And I'll just give you a quick tip that I love, especially for creative people. You know how like you go, if you're in a big office and they have those mail slot systems, so the receptionist would divvy up everyone's mail when it came every day and you had your own little mailbox with your name. Those are great if you're creative. You can get small ones of those, keep them on the desk and put different information of all your creative projects. So that way it's grouped by project and it's easily accessed, but it's not clutter spread out everywhere.
I agree with you. Like looking at somebody's desk that's filled with clutter, it does set your mind at, oh, okay, this is a problem. There's something going on here. Maybe things are not being done efficiently. Maybe something needs to be corrected. Mm-hmm. And whether that's true or not, that's what people are thinking. And that's sort of, you know, in thinking in the marketing world, like what people think is what their reality is. So, you know, even though maybe it's okay for you, it's something to look at, to think about. So if you've got the messy desk or the stuffed closet that's completely full, what do you do? How do you start to correct those things? Are you working on the internal thing before you start to work on that external?
Great question. Start wherever it makes sense for you because it, one thing affects the other. If you start to clean up your desk, you're going to have a clearer mind. If you start to address your issues of jealousy, you're going to be able to release things from your closet. So it's wherever you're motivated to, whatever you can do, start there as long as you take that first step.
And what's the, like, why should we do this? Other than the internal marketing type of thing, like, what are the other benefits that we would see by decluttering?
My gosh, peace of mind, which you can't put a price tag on. You know, the average person spends an hour a day looking for things. So you get back time, you get back money. This is the only thing, I've been in business since 2009. The only thing I have 100% success rate on in life and in business is finding money every time I support people decluttering. So the chances are high that you're going to find money. Mention peace of mind. You know, it's if you aren't happy and doing what you desire, then you most likely have clutter. It's preventing you from doing that. If you're super happy and life's good, maybe you don't need to declutter. But I would argue that a lot of people aren't in that space. And it's the other thing, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, something to think about too, as we age, people don't want your stuff. So, you're putting a burden on grandkids, kids, and that's, people think, oh, this is a value. And a lot of people are like, no longer, maybe 10, 15 years ago, but not as many people want antiques. They don't want that stuff. So that's something that might motivate you to declutter as well. You don't want to leave a burden to someone else.
Yeah. You know, I go to some of these, like, I love to go for walks around the block, and I do that on, you know, like if I do that on a Saturday or Sunday, there's generally some sort of garage sale or estate sale or something going on. And it's like, you look at some of this stuff, especially like the estate sale, like I'll go walk through. I don't think I've bought one thing like ever, just because it's like, I don't know. I don't want somebody else. I don't need something else. Like I just don't. But it's sort of sad when you go through there and you see these things that were, you know, they're special to somebody. Mm-hmm. They kept them for whatever reason. And, you know, now they're just kind of being sold, you know, with the 10 cent price tag on them.
Yeah.
It's almost like, in a way, if you sort of get in that mind frame now of like, what is the real value of this? Right. Like what, in mentioning doing the office redo, right? Like, mm-hmm. I do need a little desk lamp in here. I want a little desk lamp just so I don't have to have the big lamp on when I'm working here at night. Just a little, you know, small mm-hmm. one. I had one years ago, like, I don't know, 20 years ago. And I tossed it. Why? Well, because I'm like, I'm not going to hold on to this for 20 years because it maybe cost me, you know, $40 for the lamp or something. Now it's like, oh, I wish I had that lamp. But like, I just look at sort of the price of storage of that lamp for 20 years.
And if you move, there's a cost of moving. If you've moved,
totally.
You know, you have to think of those things as well.
Totally. So what are some of the areas where in our house, like we should be looking to declutter?
Well, collections, let's talk about that for a moment. And I'm not a minimalist like you are. Like, for instance, my mom passed last year, and so she was a painter. So I have a bunch of her paintings up. Like, I couldn't do bare walls. That just wouldn't work for me. Mm-hmm. But what I say to people is, you know, how many collections do you have? You know, are you collecting like the beer steins and then, you know, patches or shot glasses or whatever? It's like, when do your collections go nuts? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's nothing wrong to have a collection, but has your house become overrun? And think about it, you've got to dust it. You've got to maintain it. You know, you can look at it as real estate. Like, okay, all this stuff is taking up space. And, you know, when your life is cluttered, when you have the physical clutter and everything is feeling, you can't have space for something new to come into your life. So, you know, like the overstuffed closet, if you want to create a relationship, that might be a barrier to bringing someone new into your life. So collections are a great place to start. And, you know, we get in this habit, especially like for a while I collected angels, and feng shui talks about when you collect something that it reflects what you think you're missing in life. And so I had been a victim of a crime, and to me, angels represented love and protection. So it made sense that, and I didn't realize this at the time. It wasn't until I read a book on it. I was like, oh, that's why I collect. And when I had that aha moment, I'm like, okay, well, I can empower myself in other ways. I still have some angels, but not like, and I never had anything that was crazy, but I don't feel the need to collect them. And, you know, another thing is to say to people, hey, I've stopped collecting things like, God love my mom, but she's like, oh, here's an angel, you know, years ago would want to give me another one. So I think collections is a place to start. The other thing I'd like to talk about is memories, because, you know, like my mom just died last year and I completely get it. But where we get tripped up is we think the memory is on the object. My mom's not in her painting. If I were to let a painting go, my mom's memories aren't good. She's still in my heart and she's still in my head. So people get tripped up when they put that on someone. And, you know, the other thing I would say, I've had many clients who've had extreme guilt. Oh, but you know, my mom's passed. She'd be so upset with me. And what I say, and I truly believe, is that when people have gone to the next adventure, they want you to be happy. They don't want you to be burdened. So try to release that guilt if you can. If it's, you know, I had a client that her parents' stuff, she hadn't looked at it in 20 years, took up an entire basement. And when we were able to let that stuff go, then she had a place to do her art. You know, she'd been preventing that from happening.
Right. Yeah, you know, they did this thing at my kid's school, recycled art, basically. Like they would take stuff like, you know, whatever, like I think there was like toilet paper things or empty containers or whatever, and they would turn this into art, like a reuse things. And like we'd come home with these huge things that would fill the back of the car with stuff. It's like, where are we going to put this? Like, how long can we hang on to this? And we just started, let's take photos of everything.
Yeah.
Right. Like we even did that with like little Lego creations, because they wouldn't want to take apart the Lego stuff when they were kids because they made this cool thing. And it's like, well, I can't keep buying new Legos. These things, you know, that doesn't work. So let's just take a photo and then we're done and we move on and we can take it apart and build something else. Like that's, you know, yeah. one of the beauty parts of Legos. So it's like, yes, a lot of that old stuff, like the stuff that was in the basement there, take a bunch of photos and then you've got that. You've got kind of unlimited digital space for photos. And I think that's the way to go with that stuff. But then actually, okay, now I say we have a bunch of digital space. Well, maybe we don't. I keep having to upgrade my Google Drive space because we keep running out because of photos and files and all these
things. You should declutter those as well.
Right.
How do you do as well?
How do you feel like, how do you do that? Like I feel like I'm throwing stuff away.
Well, you know, right. But you only have so much time in the day and you'd be surprised at people who hold onto things like they're not good photos or, you know, mm-hmm. even with digital stuff, we can take blurry photos and things that aren't that great. So make sure you delete duplicates. I have a weird thing on my phone and it takes duplicate pictures. I have to get my husband to look at that. But so I know, all right, go in and make sure I delete all the things. And so I regularly delete videos and pictures weekly. And if you can't commit to that, then do it once a month. Or, you know, your kid's birthday party. All right, then I'm going to go through the last couple birthday parties and see if I can delete some things and just save the really good shots. If you're like, huh, who's that? And you don't recognize the person. You know what? You can let that photo go.
Right. Yeah, we do that. So I go through the photos once a year, right between Christmas and New Year's Eve. That way it also sort of makes me, oh, this is what we did in February. Oh, remember this in February and March and whatever. So it's sort of this, you know, trip down memory lane each year. So I do that. My problem is these podcast files. I've got so many of them.
Yeah. Well, you'll have the audio file that's been uploaded, right? So you can always download that, correct?
Right. Right.
So you have an option.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. I do got to get better about cleaning that stuff out. I guess maybe that's something for Podbean. I did plug them so much. Maybe they'll just give me extra space.
There you go. Be like, hey, dude, I just told everyone about you. They might do that.
There we go. Now, what about, you touched on a little about end of life. I'm actually, before we get into that, let's talk about retirement, because I feel like, okay, now maybe the kids have moved out. Many people downsize to a smaller place at that point. That's got to be very difficult, not from the moving box standpoint, but from the emotional standpoint about that downgrade, moving from the house that your kids grew up in to a smaller house now. And you've got all this stuff. What do you keep? What do you not keep? Do they still get a bedroom? Like, you know, like what happens there? And how do you coach clients in going through that portion of their life?
Excellent question. We know there can be different versions of that. Someone can be in a 4,000 square feet, go down to 2,000. We downsized twice in 2 years unexpectedly because when my mom got ill, we had just downsized and we ended up moving back to my hometown. So I've downsized twice. And it's so important. You know, there's a mental, spiritual, and definitely emotional aspects of that. So, you know, you have to ask again yourself, like, what is it costing you? It's costing you in mortgage and heating and cooling costs. And, you know, look to different things for different people. For instance, someone might want to say, I want kids so when my grandkids have a bedroom to stay on, eventually when the kids have their own kids. So you can still have the space, but go through the process of letting go of the other things. I had an amazing neighbor and I just helped her. She's 85 and awesome. And I just helped her move into assisted living. And, you know, it was a process and we were behind the ball. I told her, I said, you know, we needed to start this a couple months ago. And so we did a lot. But then we were able to also sell some items. And then once she got settled, we had to go through stuff again. Cause it was, especially when people are older, it's, you can't work the amount of time or kind of the amount of push, you know, really strong. They just need more time to do things. So that's something to take into consideration if you're working with someone who's older. They just need more time to make decisions. And with her, I would also frame things like, okay, you know, we have a dress for church. We have a dress just for every day and maybe a nicer dress. Is that good? And then framing those questions for them to make it easier instead of looking at an entire closet full of dresses and having to make a decision. So that helps right. when people are older. But yeah, that definitely depends on, and that's a good point to bring up. There are different ways and roles of downsizing. So don't feel like if someone else is, you know, moving to 2,000 square foot house, that doesn't make you wrong. But I encourage people, you know, definitely go through your stuff, even if you're going to maintain a big home.
Yeah. Now, okay. What you're bringing up here now, you're making me think about some of the other things that you said. So you'd sent me an email about becoming a guest on the show. And the things that really got me were, okay, I liked the decluttering thing because I just did the hoarding thing. And I'm sort of, you know, a big fan of that. But a couple of things that I didn't think about that you bring up, you brought up clutter in relationships, spiritual clutter, yeah. and even health clutter. Can we touch on those topics a little bit?
Absolutely. Well, let's take spiritual clutter. So how well are you able to forgive? You know, when you don't forgive, it harms you. You're the one still holding on to that. I'm not saying condone what someone did, but how many of us are able to forgive? A lot of us aren't. Or for me, a big one that I consider spiritual is not having gratitude, right? You know, if we had gratitude, most of us would go, oh, yeah, I have enough. But instead of, oh, that Instagram feed, boy, that person has so much more than I do. Well, can I take a moment to be in gratitude? You know, you can't have two opposing thoughts. So if I'm grateful, I can't be jealous at the same time, right? Mm-hmm. So those are two examples of clutter. Let's see, relationship was one, another one.
Yeah.
So, you know, how supportive are your relationships? Do people around, are they your best friends and your biggest cheerleaders? Or are they telling you how it can't be done? You know, a lot of people, are you a doormat? Or are you able to have healthy boundaries? And, you know, we talked a little bit before we started recording about how a lot of people I work with, one tends to be more on the clutter buggish side and another spouse tends to be more on the organized side. And so working through that and the physical clutter as an example.
You know, what's interesting on the relationship clutter, the pandemic and you know, isolating and being away from so many additional activities that we had to do. I mean, there were activities, and I say had to do because we just felt like we had to do them.
You know, yeah, like yeah.
These dinner parties that you know, with people that we didn't really know, or you know, things that we were invited to. Like if we were invited, we would generally say yes. And that sort of is interesting because I mentioned I'm, you know, more of like on the minimalist side. I think also even with the relationship side, I'm a little bit more on the minimalist thing, right? Like I have a few close friends that I chat with on a regular basis. I don't have like hundreds of people that I chat with on a regular. It's just like it's not me. It just doesn't work for me. It's too much to think about and too much. And I never really made that comparison of clutter in that to, you know, kind of clutter in my messages and chatting with people, but it is sort of the same thing. It totally like is replaceable.
Like, right. Yes.
I can say, oh, I don't want, you know, 500 people in this room. Maybe one at this particular time. Like that's it. And that's good enough for me. And I never really made that relation like that, like tied those two together. Mm-hmm. It's very, very interesting.
Good job on the aha moment. Very good. Yeah.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. And then finally, I think you asked about health. So are you going to regular appointments? Are you exercising? Are you taking good care of yourself? You know, things like that. And then if you want to look at the physical aspect, if you got a lot of clutter, that's creating dust. I'm allergic to dust mites. I've just started allergy shots and we have cats and I'm allergic to cats. And so what is it in your health? Are you taking care of yourself or not? And if you don't have the energy, you're not going to have the energy to do the physical decluttering. So it's all related. It's all tied together.
You know, the thing that, okay, so I'm going to play a little devil's advocate here. The health clutter, right? Like going and, you know, like I've started, I try to go on a walk every day, you know, like at least, you know, 30 minutes or so, right? But what that did was it sort of created this like weird hole in my schedule for work, like things that I would like to do, or, you know, podcast or whatever. Like now I've got to set aside this time. And so in a way, I do get a feeling of like, oh, this is a problem, because it's creating a clutter in my calendar of like times where I can't, like, it's giving me, I guess I'm replacing one problem for another, right? Like so how do you get through that in helping
Great
somebody
question.
Through that?
What popped into my mind is maybe your schedule's too cluttered. Like one thing I have changed, you know, when I first started my business, I'm like, oh, I have to be available 24/7. I've got to go. Like I'm someone like you, like when I first started, I'm like, oh my gosh, these networking events exhaust me. And So I had to be like, okay, I can't do these as frequently. But one thing I learned, I took a class, and she said, I loved how she phrased it. She said, keep your schedule open for opportunities. So I do that. I don't jam pack my schedule. And I always have something that I can be doing. And so like I've gotten podcast interviews because people canceled at the last minute. And I've always said, hey, you know, if you have a last minute cancellation, reach out and we'll see if I can fill the space if you need. So I look at it as keeping my schedule open for opportunities. And then, you know, the other thing we talked about, what is clutter costing you? Like if you're not getting that walk every day, how do you feel mentally? How do you feel physically? Right. And what's the long term? You know, as we get older, I'm like, oh my gosh, the things they don't tell you. So it's like, I want to age in a healthy manner. I don't want to be driving in one of little carts at the big box store. You know, I want to be able to walk.
Right. Right. Yeah. You know, that's the thing too. Like and this is something that, you know, I've done for a while. It's like, check the email, get through some of that stuff. And then at a certain time, you have to go on that walk, like get away from it for a little while. And then you come back and it's like, I am energized. It's almost like I've had a bunch of coffee, which I probably also have had, but it's like that, it just gives you that extra creative boost, you know, for doing that. So I totally get that. The calendar thing, I'm not quite there yet. I still do have a bit of clutter.
We're all works in progress.
Exactly. Okay. So I love to give people like actionable things, right? Like when we're talking on this podcast, it's like, hey, what can we do right now? And I feel like over the last few episodes, I've really like taken like some of these things and just applied them directly into my life. What is something that if you're listening to this podcast today that they could do to help with the decluttering in their life?
Great question. So pick one place to start. You know, maybe you need to declutter a negative thought. Maybe you need to, you mentioned piles of paper. Maybe you need to declutter your piles of paper. Maybe you need to change a relationship and declutter that and maybe not spend so much time with people. So what one action can you take? So, and if you're like, oh, I don't know, is something driving you crazy? Do you have an impending deadline for something? You know, is there an urgent need? Like your doctor said, hey, you've got to get healthy and your kitchen's full of clutter and needs to get decluttered and organized. So ask yourself those things, or whatever's driving you crazy if you're not sure where to start. And then commit to it. Did you know that 10 minutes a day is just over 60 hours in a year? That's a week and a half of a regular person's work week. You can accomplish a lot in that. And so,
you know, I've never done that math before. I like that. These are things I'm going to write down.
And that's a simple thing, you know, commit to,
I like it,
10 minutes. Most people can fit that in their schedule. And then, you know, if you're resisting, ask yourself, why is that? What's my resistance?
Mm-hmm. So if somebody listening to the podcast wanted to reach out to you and get some help, how would they do so?
They can go to reawakenyourbrilliance.com. And I've got my books, I've got my podcast. They can find out more information. And I also have a free assessment, a self-assessment. If you know you're talking about take action, well, I have this little self-assessment and you can figure out where your clutter priority is. And I give you a take action for whatever area is in most need of attention.
Oh, nice. I like that. Yeah, we talked about several different areas. So a test like that would be very helpful for somebody.
Holiday clutter. We didn't even touch on holiday clutter. Oh, as we record this, we've got the holidays coming up.
Oh yeah, we do. Yeah, that's some clutter right there. That always gets me too. Is like I feel like whenever we take down the tree and all the decorations, like that next day, I feel so good.
You're so funny.
We have so much extra space. This is awesome.
Oh, that's great. Like woohoo!
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for joining me and help us learn more about decluttering.
Well, thank you for having me. I enjoy this and I'm impressed with you. Got your office and your paper cleared. You're in great shape. Oh,
it feels fantastic. It really does. Hey, thank you for listening and subscribing to Learning More. I encourage you and thank you for rating this podcast. It really does help. You know, we've really got the subscription thing down. Like hundreds of people have subscribed to this podcast, which is fantastic. I would love to get some more reviews, though, because that does help to make other people discover the podcast and find us. So whatever you can do, like on whatever app you're on, just please do submit a review. That would be fantastic. Thank you so much for that. Okay, as with any podcast that gives medical or legal opinion, the information is not meant to substitute professional advice, and I encourage you to consult a professional to discuss your exact needs. Hey, I've got another podcast. It's a business podcast for you to go check out. If you own a business, know somebody that owned a business, think about owning a business, whatever it is, go check it out. Me and my buddy Greg do a podcast called DIY for Business, and I'd love for you to go check that out. DIYforBusinessPodcast.com over there. The other podcast website that you should go check out is the Learning More podcast website, learningmorepodcast.com. You could submit ideas for future episodes, and we've got some great episodes in the works for the season. So you can make sure that you share that with friends as well. That would be great. Again, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. I'm Russ, and I look forward to learning more with you next time.